Whoop, tap, tap, a tap, tap, whap, bop, tap, a tap, tap. Rosemary in the bag and tied around my neck for my protection. I'm walking around, big old sack on my back, coming in your direction. What kind of tea do you like? I got it. I'm the medicine man, herb from the land, yeah. Oh, I'm the herb man, come see me. Oh, I'm the herb man, you all come see me. Need rosemary, calm your nerves, got peppermint leaf to get rid of my fever. I keep periwinkle to get some love now. Whoa, I got hug me clothes to make my backbone strong. Go to cola tonic for my blood, dandelion for my bones, y'all. I can leave to keep away flies. Hot lady cayenne for my pressure. Oh, I'm the herb man, come see me. Oh, I'm the herb man, you all come see me. Get the children out the way now. No, you can't smoke this, sir. This is for salad. Yes, for salad. Herbman, Herbman.
And good afternoon, good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of To Your Health. To Your Health is a program designed not only to inform, but to also turn your life and health around. I am Dr. Theodore Watkins, the host of To Your Health, and I'm here with my able and trusty assistant, Mr. Frank Smith. How you doing, Brother Frank?
Good, Doc. How about you?
I'm doing extremely well, extremely well. Happy for this beautiful day. And today, you know, being Veterans Day, and I being a veteran, we're going to talk about something that's very, very important to many veterans, and that is PTSD. Post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. You know, PTSD can have a significant impact on our families and societies as a whole. And what happens during a traumatic event, our bodies react in various ways to actually protect us from danger. We have a built-in protective mechanism. And what happens, some people, they will struggle with anxiety immediately following their traumatic experience. But as time goes on, you know, the feelings will lessen and they'll get back to normal. However, there are some people that have been diagnosed with PTSD that continue to be traumatized by the experience and often feel stressed and frightened even when there's no danger in sight. You know, post-traumatic experience, as we say, can impact the individual, but it can also impact the family and the society, you know?
Sure.
So there have been a number of studies looking at this. We're trying to understand, and they've done some epidemiologic studies, and they indicate that approximately 70% of the general population will experience some tragic event in their lifetime, at least 70%. But only 10 to 20% of those exposed to these significant traumas will go on to develop PTSD. Now that's very significant. So why is it that some will and some won't? Well, first of all, we need to understand that post-traumatic syndrome is really a psychological disorder. They call it heterogeneous. It has different components to it. And it affects these people who have been exposed to trauma, but it also has what we call high comorbidity. It's associated with things other than just trauma, all right? And they together they have these adverse effects. And believe it or not, Brother Frank, one of the things is heart disease. And another is obesity. These are things that seem to be associated with post-traumatic stress disorders. And when you look at the pathophysiology, the unique pathophysiology, the why of PTSD, it's the inability to inhibit the fear response. It's the inability to inhibit the fear response. You're always getting scared about something, you know? And such that individuals, they suffer from PTSD even when the event is gone, you know? They keep re-experiencing the traumatic memories. They're unable to control the psychophysiologic response to the traumas associated with that stimuli. So they're constantly under tremendous stress. Mm-hmm. And what happens is they're actually some underlying issues. All right. There's a reason that only 10 to 20% actually have PTSD, because these underlying alterations in the nervous system activities, in our neuroendocrine, you know, the hormones that affect our brain and endocrine, you know, diabetes, thyroid, these are all endocrine kind of thing, and also metabolic. Diabetes also has a metabolic impact, and they're all associated with PTSD, and it presents in traditional metabolic disorders such as obesity and diabetes. And so it's amazing to see that this thing that we thought was just due to trauma is also due to malfunction of our endocrine and metabolic systems and the alterations in the sympathetic and the neuro endocrine and even the inflammatory. It seems like inflammation, Brother Frank, is associated with everything.
Everything,
you know? And you have problems with neurotransmitters, things that carry messages in the brain. You know, a common one we talk about all the time is dopamine, carries messages through the brain. And all of these come together in what we call PTSD. Mm. All right? PTSD. Mm-hmm. And it can really have a significant impact on your function, on your daily function. It can affect your job. It can affect your relationship with family and friends, co-workers. It can have affect the overall quality of your life. I'm sure you've seen people, Brother Frank, that have PTSD. It's amazing that they're constantly under pressure. They're constantly on guard because they don't know what's going to happen. You know, PTSD often coexists with other mental conditions, things like depression, things like anxiety, and it also coexists with substance abuse, and substance abuse not only can coexist with it, can actually help to bring it on, you know? And so this further complicates treatment and really increases the burden of the disorder. PTSD is bad by itself, but when you combine that with anxiety, depression, and you can see, because we know that anxiety, depression, which we call, when we have them together, we call it bipolar. We know that bipolar disorders are associated with low dopamine, all right? So that dopamine, that neurotransmitter. And so it just goes to show that this is a very, very significant thing. And they've done some research, and this research highlights the importance of the clinical, the transactional, even the preclinical data that supports the notion that there's some underlying issues leading to impaired fear inhibition. Impaired fear inhibition. When we say that, Brother Frank, what do you think about impaired fear inhibition? What does that mean to you?
Doc, I'm drawing a blank.
You can't stop the fear, basically. You can't inhibit it. You can't stop it.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Right.
And what we're now seeing is that because of this pathophysiology that we talk about, that PTSD is itself a metabolic disorder. So it's not just a mental, emotional, it's also metabolic. And it alters the function of the inflammatory response to underlying mechanisms. And so PTSD is really, really a major thing. And so here on Veterans Day, we're talking about this because it impacts, as we'll see momentarily, so many veterans. If you have a question or comment, some of you have experienced PTSD or know people who've experienced PTSD, give us a call. This is something we don't talk a lot about, but yet we can see that it is a major, major problem. The number here is 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. Let's go to our phones now. Yes, caller, you're on the line. On the line.
Good day, everybody. Can you hear me, brothers? I'm sorry.
We can hear you well, my brother.
Oh, good day. I knew it wasn't my turn. I didn't hear no air change in the sound. Thank you, gentlemen, so much. Thank you for the veterans' work. Thank you for the understanding all sides to that, because some people, they don't even want to celebrate Veterans Day, and I respect that. And I've recently found that I have post-traumatic stress. I was not in any United States wars outside of the United States. I was in the drug war, you know, not being funny, and seeing people shot and killed and stuff. But I think my most stress comes from just fear, personally. And I don't mean to talk about myself. I wanted to say thank y'all, really. But as I drive to Dulles Airport from St. Mary's County, Maryland, right now, I got 2 hours to listen to you guys. Thank God. And anyway, when people yell, I get all messed up. As soon as the yelling starts, I'm thinking I'm about to get smacked or something. And I don't, it's, thank you so much. I will get out of it. Everyone is really, I know what I was going to say, Doc. Listen to this one. Can you feel me on this, please? When I grew up in Palmer Park, Maryland, and Landover and stuff like that, the color of my skin meant that I was going to get, I better be careful. Because I'm already in danger. And I think about my black brothers. Some of them wake up and look in the mirror and think, ah, that color's going to get me killed possibly today. And because I know my color, I know. I grew up in Prince George's County, and my color has been an aggravation for me. And I get it. I get it, because I tell you what. I mean, you could say stealing the land was a crime. I get that. That was a crime. It was. Killing crime. But slavery, man, that's a crime. That's against humanity. And that has created a lot of things. And I was just thinking some guys, black guys probably, because I know a white guy that looks in the mirror and says, oh, God, that's going to get you. You better be careful today, buddy, because you are hated. And you ain't connected to nothing except the streets. And
when I was talking to Frank, about post-traumatic stress syndrome, I said we could talk about post-traumatic slave syndrome, because what you're saying is true. I remember, you know, it's funny. I never feared so much about myself growing up. I can't remember having a lot of fear, but I remember when my son would go out, especially when he was in his early mid-teens, when
you
he would go out,
talking.
I was really fearful.
Oh, my God, sir, I'm a father. My daughter traveled this weekend for the first time by herself. Keep talking, please.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it wasn't until he, it's funny, but I never said anything to my wife about it. I never said anything to my son about it. But deep down inside, I was scared.
So you're smart.
That some police officer, you know.
Yeah.
Not just some crazy on the street.
No, a police officer is going to
shoot
kill
my
son.
You know, just because he was driving while black. You know.
And say he did something. And
that's
you know, I've talked a lot while you were talking, and I'm going to tell you there's one reason I did it. I didn't want you to hang up on me. I want to say one thing. Number one, thank you for not saying nothing to your son about all your fears, because I always tell my kid all mine, because they're all scared to death. They can't even walk. But that said, my great-grandma, I'm 55, my great-grandmother in New York, Elizabeth Staker, I never went near my Nana. We were scared of Nana. Nana grew up in a Mohawk Indian reservation in New York. That ain't that long ago. That would have been your mom.
Yes.
She grew up on an Indian reservation. And my great-grandfather, I'm great to get out y'all's way because there's more people. My great-grandfather, my mom always told me, Joe, your great-grandfather was a piece of trash. He was an alcoholic. I recently found out, listening to congressional hearings in New York, you could be white or black, but you could say that Indian drinks too much. And they'll lock an Indian up at a heartbeat. My grandfather was locked up in an alcoholic and died in the insane asylum. He might not have been a bad guy, like my mom always said. And they're killing us. I don't know who they are. They're taking our foods. They're taking. Oh, my gosh. I apologize, man. Thank you all.
No. That's the reason we're having this program, because a lot of us have emotion pent up inside. And we don't talk enough about this kind of thing.
No.
We need to recognize what's happening, especially after this recent election.
Yes, sir.
You know,
oh, my gosh.
Yes.
I don't have a safe place to go. I'm not allowed to go anywhere. I'm white, so you would assume he voted for Trump. We won't make an assumption who I voted for, because no matter what room I'm in, I talk about both teams. Because they'll tell me how great Trump is. Like, do you know his son has the same lawyer as Hunter Biden? Do you know that Trump got $500 billion? And it don't matter where I'm at. I'll talk about Harris the same way. And I can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Gosh.
All right.
Yes,
thank you, my brother.
Hey, they can't let their emotions rule their world. We need help. We are letting emotions rule our world. We need help, man. Thank y'all.
Thank you so much. Once again, the number is 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. You know, the reality is our healthcare utilization system is being strongly impacted by this disorder. You know, if you are an individual with PTSD, you are more likely to utilize health services, including the mental health care and primary care, compared to someone who doesn't have it, you know, and you know, because you're constantly in fear, Brother Frank.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not just of somebody harming you, but of some bug or some disease. You know, I mean, this fear thing, and because of the utilization of our healthcare, the economic cost is significant.
Yeah.
You know. Not just in terms of the cost for healthcare, but even lost productivity, you know, and reduced quality of life.
Mm.
That person that has PTSD, his quality of life is different than a person who does not. You know, he's also more likely to kill himself.
Yeah.
Individuals with PTSD have increased risk of suicide compared to the general population. And between 2006 and 2020, I think you told me, Brother Frank,
mm-hmm.
It actually increased tenfold.
Tenfold.
A tenfold increase in suicide in people with post-traumatic stress syndrome. You know, it's important to remember that these statistics are average, but and they can vary greatly from person to person, but they just highlight the significant burden that post-traumatic stress syndrome places on the individual and the society. You know. So what we have to do is we try to recognize what is the underlying cause. Why is it that after certain experiences, a person has a shocking, frightening, or dangerous event that this PTSD is developed. Now, you know, one is witnessing death.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fortunately, mm-hmm. even though I was in the military, I never witnessed anyone getting killed. You know, and I was in there during the Vietnamese War, but I was determined I wasn't going to Vietnam. You know. No, you know, I just couldn't see myself sacrificing my life so people could get rich, you know. So mm-hmm. that was my philosophy. I could have been wrong, but that's how I saw it, you know, back in the hood, you know. Also, another trigger is a life-threatening injury, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I have a patient that had an injury at school, and as a result, it's been over 20 years, and he's still suffering from this post-traumatic stress syndrome, and sometimes it can even come from socially engaging. You feel the lack of support from friends and family, you know, after retirement or some event in life, and that can lead to post-traumatic stress syndrome. If you have a question, concern, call, comment, give us a call. The number is 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. We have a caller on now. Let's go back to the phones. Yes, caller, you're on the line.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the line.
Hi, Dr. Watkins. Thank you so much for this program. It's a gift.
You're more than welcome.
I would like to ask you about some of the treatments whether that be food, herb, or practices for people that, like myself, that do suffer from post-traumatic syndrome.
So a lot of people certainly recommend, and most people recommend, that you get some support services. Although I must admit that I've not seen Brother Frank where it's done a lot of good. Now you're more in the psychological world than I have. Do you have a different experience with that?
It helps, but being holistic.
It depends on who you got.
Exactly. And being holistic people, we have to, what Doc says, hit it from all sides. So Doc will explain the other sides.
So what we got to do, I think we have to address this like we address anything else.
Yeah.
We got to get down to the root.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't get to the root, you're not going to be able to get rid of the weeds. All right? You can pull them up, but you leave the root behind, it's going to grow back, and it's going to grow back stronger. So we have to look and see. I was very interested to see the metabolic, the endocrine and metabolic association, because if we can look at that, there's a alteration in my endocrine system, there are things that we can do to correct that. You know, there are certain foods, there's certain herbs that can assist in bringing those things back into balance. All right, you know, with various what we call cardiovascular diseases, you know, lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, etc. Even things like thyroid disease, we're able to work with the immune system to bring it back into balance. And if in fact the immune system is one of the problems with post-traumatic stress syndrome, which it appears from the research it is, then there's a lot that we can do to impact that. You know, certainly diet. You mentioned diet. Diet is a very important factor. You know,
yes.
They talk about the omega-3 fatty acids. You know, but you want to get them. I would recommend from a plant-based source. You know, like your walnuts, your avocado, things like that. Can give you good sources of omega-3 fatty acids. Chia seed, flax seed also are good sources. And then, you know, whole foods. Exercise is also good, you know. And if you imbibe, stop drinking. Stop drinking, stop drugging, because it's clear
that
those things are contributing. So we're focusing, you notice, on the underlying issues, because until we get to the underlying issues, we won't be able to get to it. You know, and we have to face the fact that we have a problem. All right? Face the fact that we have a problem and it needs to be addressed. Thank you so much. We probably go in a little more detail. I hope that was
Not at all. Thank you, doctor.
All right.
Listen to the rest of the show.
You know, our bodies are incredible. We're well equipped when it comes to keeping us safe. We want to hide. The body wants to keep the pain, keep us from facing pain. Either physical pain or psychological pain, you know, it wants to keep us safe. And if you perceive danger, our fight or flight instincts will kick in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You got to either throw up or you got to get up, you know. And when you experienced this traumatizing event, it can be challenging to convince yourself and your body that you're no longer in danger.
Mm-hmm.
All after all, anxiety does not listen to reason. All right? Anxiety does not listen to reason. And so it's important for us to recognize that there are some common issues that are present and we need to address them, you know? So when we look at symptomatology, mm-hmm. there are different categories of symptoms that you can see. And as you will see as we go through them, you may have to look out for the person because the person may not be equipped to look out for themselves. That's true. All right.
It becomes normal.
Mm-hmm. All right. It becomes normal. And one of the categories is something called intrusion. It's alternately known as re-experiencing symptoms. And what happens, these intrusive thoughts are incredibly vivid, and they form this involuntary memory, distressing dreams, flashbacks of the traumatic event. So you are constantly being intruded, invaded by these thoughts, you know? And no matter what type of intrusion it is, for the veteran, it's like experiencing it all over again. You know, you back on the battlefield and the Viet Cong are attacking you. And so that's what we have to understand, you know. They cannot get these thoughts out of their head. They cannot get these thoughts out of their head. Another presentation is something called avoidance. Mm-hmm. Avoidance, you know, and you know, some folk that have you know, military experience, they want to talk about it. They want to share all their stories, you know. You know, I don't know, Frank, if all of them stories are true. But they be sharing those stories, but you know, for some, these memories can be unexpectedly emotional,
mm-hmm.
and they can bring about a reaction to situations. I remember one of my friends went to Vietnam, and he came back and he clearly had post-traumatic stress syndrome. I mean, you know, he was fantasizing, you know, and it was just really terrible. I mean, to sit and talk to him was very painful to me, mm-hmm. because I knew him before, and yeah. then to see him after, you know, so. These events lead some vets to avoid certain places and certain people, and things that remind them of the inciting traumatic events, you know, mm-hmm. and they will even withdraw from conversation about military services and times, you know, and. Like I was at church this weekend, and they had the veterans to stand up. They don't want to stand up. They don't want to have anything to do with that. And it may be conscious.
Wow.
They may know what they're doing, that they're avoiding, but sometimes it's actually subconscious when they're not aware that they are avoiding. And this is important because if they're not aware of it, then it's unlikely that they're going to seek any help. All right. And so you have to be on guard to help them. The number is 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. Give us a call, especially if you have experienced post-traumatic stress disorder or know someone who have, share with us, because this can be a very, very, well, it is a life-altering event for a number of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can have an alteration in your cognition, in your memory, and in your mood, because there's a definite link between emotion and cognition. You know, they talk about emotional intelligence, you know, the ability to understand, to perceive, to use, to control emotions, whereas cognition is your ability to gain knowledge, to understand, and to react. And sometimes there's the alteration in between the two of them, you know, and some veterans have this cognitive bias. That is, they put an excessive amount of time and energy into mitigating perceived threats. They want to stay away from things that they think will threaten them, all right? And so we need to recognize, you know, it's like they're constantly on guard, all right? They're trying to prevent certain, you know, it's a self-preservation kind of thing, you know? And so that's what happens with this. You know, and then there's alterations in arousal and reactivity. You know, they're hyper vigilant. You know, the symptoms is marked by enhanced awareness, which can actually turn into reckless behavior. See, a vet or a person that has post traumatic stress disorder might be more readily agitated. They might have difficulty sleeping. And if you don't have proper sleep, what does that do to you, Brother Frank?
Yeah, it makes you worse.
Makes it even worse.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, once again, it's like being on guard all the time. You know, if you've been in the military, you know, you're on guard duty. You know, and if something happens, you're responsible. So you're always on guard, and you're not able to turn off that fight and flight instinct. You always got the dukes up. You're always looking around. You're always ready to run, you know. And so this is something that affects us and affects us greatly. And you know, the old timers, they wouldn't talk about it, but yet they experienced it, all right? And so what we need to do, we need to be cognizant of this thing. Once again, the number is 202-588-0893.
Mm-hmm.
Get excited.
And Doc.
Yes.
It's important to say that, remind our audience that it's not just the veterans.
Yes.
You know, most vulnerable people are persons who have a history of multiple adverse experiences or mental difficulties.
Yes.
Having little social support or recurrent and ongoing life stress are also factors. Such things as physical or sexual abuse early in childhood happens often in our society.
And it seems like it's happening more often, Brother Frank.
Yeah, more often. Yeah, that's right. It seems like it's accepted as high as the presidency.
Lord have mercy.
So it's probably it's going to happen more often. So callers call that. What are the symptoms, Doc?
So you know, you may have feeling sad, depressed. You know, you may lose interest in activity. There may be change in your appetite, change in weight, difficulty falling or staying asleep, sleeping too much, loss of energy or fatigue. I mean, there's so many factors that can be at play. We want to make sure we only have a few minutes left. The number, once again, is 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. Give us a call with experiences or questions. Let's go back to our phone. Yes, caller, you on the line.
Good afternoon, Dr. Watkins and sir. I wanted to just share an experience since we were speaking about Veterans Day and the old timers. I'll be 75 soon, but my father.
Oh, you're a youngster. You're a youngster, girl.
So my father was in World War II, and I remember being a little girl. And he had an injury to his thumb, and I was asking his wife, thumb looked funny like that, and he said he got shot in the war. I couldn't have been any more than six, and I said, what's a war? And he tried to explain it to me, and I do remember saying this to him: you mean you might have killed some other little girl's daddy, so she can't sit on the porch with her daddy? And my poor father dropped his head. You know, years later, now I was still a teenager, I hadn't gone to college yet, my father gathered some of his war buddies, one of whom was a double amputee with his legs, and there might have been about four or five of them that were in the same regiment together, and they kind of stuck together. I think it was a support group, but they were scattered all over. You know, they were up in New England and in New York, and then some down here in D.C. Anyway. My father, for whatever reason, invited me into this gathering, and they were drinking. My father wasn't a drinker. He was a devout Methodist, but he was drinking that night. And they started talking about the horrors of war, about how their buddies got blown up, and they were, you know, just surrounded by body parts and all this stuff. And, of course, knowing, I just told you what my age was, so that means that I was a teenager in the 60s, and I immediately became this anti-war activist. Now, the thing is, what's happened to us that we are so damaged or hardened that we don't realize what's happening to people right now in the world with continual wars?
Yep.
And this, to me, keeps people who have suffered through that ignited all the time because it's in their face constantly. They can't live it down. I mean, back in my father's day, even though it was horrible, it wasn't in his face all the time until Vietnam when they started showing it. But, you know, you went to war, you killed people, you managed to survive, and you can't. But now there's constant. And maybe it needs to be in our face, but I'm trying to figure out, since it's in our face all the time, how do we not have PTSD, and not only the people that suffered through wars, but those of us that have it in the back of our consciousness, it's running. I don't care what anybody says, it's running constantly.
And you know, as you were talking, I was thinking about, you know, of course, I didn't go to Vietnam. I went to Germany for 7 months. But what happens when you come back?
Exactly.
You know, I mean, it used to be that we were war heroes. Now you're just scum of the earth. You're more likely to be homeless, you know, go to the VA. I mean, it's horrible, you know, and so you get no respect, and that just adds to the trauma.
Yes. So with that, I was just going to add, the last thing is, you know, the scripture that says about who is your family. And I do think that we all have a responsibility to try to be family to people who have suffered these traumas, you know, so that, you know, in whatever way we can, to listen or be available, or even maybe ask the churches or some of these places to start support groups, because they need it. They need, as you said, it needs to be acknowledged, and then they need to have support, and then they need to be able to see themselves as more than and other than the trauma.
Recording in progress.
It's even worse now. You know, it's even worse now. Brother Frank, any other comments that you have, my brother, that you want to mention before I talk about this traumatic brain injury?
Iterate again that as far as the Black community and Black and Brown community, we seem to suffer more because not only do we have this conglomeration of traumatic events happening early in life, but we're subject to be born and raised in families that have traumatic events. So there's some epigenetic components to this PTSD. So it can get passed down to you, and then you live it more by witnessing these traumatic events, especially in the hood, you know, gun violence, death all the time. And then you go to war on top of that. I mean, you're really messed up. And the thing is that you don't know it. You don't know it. You don't know it.
It's very interesting, Frank.
Mm-hmm.
When I went in the Army, one of the things that shocked me, because of course I never drank, but they changed the rules for drinking, the age. You could drink younger, you know? And so they decreased the age for drinking, and they increased the age that you could be accused of molesting a minor. it's crazy.
Yeah.
There are certain things that's part of the system that are corrupt.
Yeah.
All right.
That's it. Come on.
There's certain things part of the system. You know, I learned to appreciate some good aspects of the military. You know,
mm-hmm.
The educational system was one of the best I've ever seen in terms of being able to get you to learn massive amounts of stuff in short periods of time. But their morals were something to, you know. They overlooked drug abuse and alcoholism because all they wanted was your body.
That's it.
You know, that's how it came across to me. And so mm-hmm. to go through that and to come back here and to be faced with more trauma, you know, so it's like the post-traumatic experience continues even when you come back home.
Yes, sir.
And so that's probably why we see it more frequent within our community. All right. And so we need to I thank Katia for stimulating us to talk about this subject, because it's something that we sort of sweep under the rug. But many a father, a brother, an uncle, you know, even sisters,
mm-hmm.
sisters in the war are experiencing post-traumatic stress syndrome, or are experiencing it in our families, in our communities, and are relatively silent. They're avoiding dealing with it. Any closing comments, my brother?
Yeah, you know, I've got relatives that experienced domestic abuse, and they've got these symptoms of PTSD as well. So if you have experienced that, you might be a victim. You might be have the symptoms. So you need to get help.
Yeah. Sometimes the inability to sit still, feelings of worthlessness or guilt, difficulty concentrating or making decisions, suicidal thoughts or ideation. All of these are can be symptoms of post chronic fatigue, post traumatic stress syndrome. All right.
Thank you again, veterans. Thank you, Doc, and Katia and Kalia for being the engineer. If you want to talk to Doc, if you want to make an appointment, dial 202-388-0992, Tuesdays through Thursdays, 10 to 5. We want to thank the WPFW staff, Mayuki Williams, Acting General Manager, Katia Stitt, Program Director, and all the programmers, volunteers, and loyal listeners. Thank you, Joni Eisenberg, for helping to keep DC healthy. Thank you for your musical contributions, Oladari and Maccabee. Stay tuned. Next up is African Deep Thought Edition with Brother Kaba. After that, To the East with Ambrose Lane Jr. Stay tuned or listen in next Monday at 2:00 p.m. for another life-saving broadcast of To Your Health. Thank you again, Kalia Chapman, for what you do.
Salamata. Eyes are eyes and a vegan, we're vegan. I and I eat from the earth and need the animals to give birth. No deaders, no fur, no feathers. When I tell people I don't eat meat, fish or dairy, then look for me strangely. Then I realize I eat a very wide variety. Listen to Maccabee. Yo, how when me eat, them I wonder when me eat. When me tell them, say me no eat no fish, no meat now. How when me eat, them I wonder when me yum. When me tell them, say that I'm a vegan, man. How when me eat, them I wonder when me eat. When me tell them, say me no eat no fish, no meat now. How when me eat, them I wonder when me yum. When me tell them, say that I'm a vegan. When me no eat no meat, no fish, no cheese, no egg. Nothing with no foot, no eye, no wing, no head. Nothing with no lip, no ears, no tongue, no leg. Prefer fruit and vegetables instead. Me careful and me choose about what I'm eating. Me medicine, me food is me medicine. When me tell people that me not eat them, they think. They look at me and scratch them chin and start wondering. How when me eat them, I wonder when me eat. When me tell them, say me no eat no fish, no meat now. How when me eat them, I wonder when me yum. When me tell them, say that I'm a vegan. How when me eat them, I wonder when me eat. When me tell them, say me no eat no fish, no meat now. How when me eat them, I wonder when me eat. You want to hear what me eat? Yo, I eat kalanu, aki, sweet potato, yam, banana, and tomato, cabbage, spinach, avocado, chocho, butter, bean, and cocoa, courgette, millet, plantain, rice, and peas, and pumpkin, mango, dates, and guava, chickpeas, and cassava, Brussels sprouts, and cauliflower, onion, fennel, and cucumber, plum, pear, and papaya, aubergine, and saya, lime, lentils, and quinoa, oatmeal, bread, and oatmeal flour, watercress, and okra, tofu, and sweet pepper, couscous, and carrot, broccoli, and coconut, peaches, apples, apricot, breadfruit, jackfruit, soursop, pistachios, cashews, and almonds, walnut, peanut, also pecan, sesame seeds, and flour, lemon, orange, pineapple and melon, bogo, wheat and garlic, kiwi, corn and turnip, pacho and pomegranate, hijiki and rocket berries, cherries and strawberries, beach, okay, fruit and celery. You see, the meat's not necessary. We tell them, say, how when me eat them, I wonder when me eat. When me tell them, say, me no eat no fish, no meat now. How when me eat them, I wonder when me yum. When me tell them, say, that I'm a vegan, man. How when me eat them, I wonder when me eat. When me tell them, say, me no eat no fish, no meat now. How when me eat them, I wonder when me yum. When me tell them, say, that I'm a vegan. Hey, look how me big and me say, look how me strong. Some people can't believe that me a vegetarian. If you want a healthy body, check the real Rasta man. Cause Rasta man will tell you about the right nutrition. Me get me calcium, me sodium, me get potassium. Me get me zinc, me get me iron and me magnesium. Instead of yam the fish, me yam what the fish yam. Like the kelp and Irish monster growing at the ocean. Me get me proteins and me minerals. Me get me calories, the vitamins A, the B, the C, the D, the E, the
the FDG. It sends up fatty acid like the omega 3. Me get me fiber and me carbohydrates in my body. Don't forget your water, drink a few glass a day. The toxins in your body, just flush them away. Some of the things you eat, stuff in your body and decay. When it come to food, I don't play. We tell them, say, I when me eat, them I wonder when me eat. When me tell them, say, me no eat no fish, nah, no meat now. I when me eat, them I wonder.